The church, I think, if I remember the email from Steve, you're going through Acts in your church. In our church, we just happen to be going through John's Gospel. But this morning, I don't particularly want to bring something from either of those books. I want to share something from a book from the Old Testament. I don't know whether you have a verse of the year in your church. You don't need to answer. Oh, you got one behind you pointing. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's great. You're all evangelists going out and sharing. That's great. Yeah. In our church, I guess we don't tend to do that, so we haven't done it historically. I did this year, though, kind of pick up on a verse from the Old Testament, and it was really just saying to people, remember your journey. Picked up in the life of Joshua and remember your journey. It's not that this morning I want to pick up on, but it's a verse in the Old Testament that would probably be a great verse of the year for any year. And if you've got your Bibles there, if you want to turn to the book of Proverbs, I'm going to read from the book of Proverbs in a moment. As well as being a great verse for the year, I think for me, as I've thought about this verse on a number of occasions, it's probably one of the most helpful verses we can find in the Old Testament for our Christian lives. Although it was written close on probably 3,000 years ago or so, it has great relevance to my life as I seek to follow the Lord Jesus, and I think probably for most of our lives if we're followers of the Lord today. And I think if we memorize it and ask the Lord perhaps to bring it to mind in our lives, it'll be a great help as we follow the Lord Jesus. So as we look at the verse, if you haven't got it, well, put it down in one of your favorite verses if you use notes in your iPhone or whatever it is, really. It's a short verse and you'll hear it read in a moment. I want to pick up on the subject of the heart. What's your heart like this morning? Well, we'll come to that perhaps in a few moments. It's a great theme in the chapter we're going to read. Proverbs, middle of the book, more or less, written by probably one of the richest men that ever lived. Some say one of the wisest men that ever lived. And the book of Proverbs itself, it's a great book full of great advice and a book, if we don't know it too well, worth reading any day of our lives. And if we want to please God, if we want to live our lives in a way that brings him pleasure, then there's a lot of good advice from Solomon in this book. And as I said, from my opinion, for whatever it's worth, I think it's one of the most helpful proverbs that we're going to look at this morning on wise sayings. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter because of time, but it's Proverbs 4. Now, I've got two sons and four daughters. And whenever I read the first few verses of this proverb, I think of my two sons, but I suppose it fits the daughters as well. Proverbs chapter 4. Listen, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'll tell you when I move. I'm going to read to verse perhaps 9, then move on. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and only a child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I'm going to drop down to verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips, and let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left keep your foot from evil? So, if I was to ask you, which verse am I going to focus on? Well, heart's mentioned a number of times, but I want to think about that verse 23. Quite simple, easy to remember. It says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So, as I said, if you don't know, perhaps later, put it in your phone or write it down. So, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Well, I guess there are some medical people in the room today. I met somebody who is a care worker that's got an award. That was good to hear, good thing to celebrate. But the heart, obviously, as we all know, is the most, well, whether it's the most compared to the brain, the most important organ in our bodies. And I guess we all know people who have had problems with their heart. There may be people in the congregation this morning. Very sadly, our resource centre manager, Chris Fisher, about 5.5 years ago, he was playing football with his son. And suddenly he fell forward, and his son, Luke, thought he'd just fallen over. And he got to the pitch. It was on his AstroTurfs at night time. And his father's colour was changing. And he was having a massive heart attack. And two paramedics were there, thankfully. And they got him round. And for 48 hours, he was frozen. And apparently he had a five-way heart bypass. And he came through it, came back to work eventually. And last summer, I think he cycled 120 miles to raise two defibrillators, one for the Resource Centre and one for the Clock Tower. And he's still serving the Lord at the Resource Centre. My own son, when he was 25, he had a heart attack in Gran Canarias. And we got a call and we had to rush straight out. And people in our church, and in my own wife, she had a heart attack in 2008, some stents. And then last November, she had a double heart bypass at a local hospital where we live. So a lot of people have problems with their hearts. Now, medical people can put me right afterwards. We're told the heart beats 72 times a minute. It pumps the blood, as we know, around our arteries and gives us all we need to live every single day. It will beat, if you're about 70, if you're over, it's going to be more. I'm told it beats 2.5 billion times during a lifetime. Well, you can forget that fact straight away, can't you? Just beats a lot during an average lifespan. It weighs an average of 250 gram to 300 gram in ladies. And it weighs, oh, forgive me, yes, that's right, in ladies. And for gentlemen, it's 300 gram to 350. So I'm sorry, ladies, we can honestly say that men are bigger hearted than the women. And of course, we're encouraged all the time to look after our bodies, to look after our hearts, and to eat carefully, take in the right things, the right amount of exercise. I can see some very fit young men around. I'm sure they do all these triathlons and running and all the things that keep our bodies fit, and to have the right weight. But as well as speaking of the heart as a physical organ in our bodies, we do, of course, use the word heart in a figured way, don't we? Follow your heart's desire. Or that letter was written from the heart. Steve spoke from the heart last week. We use it in a figurative way. And we often describe, it seems to me, the dispositional character of people by using the heart. Positively, we talk about people being big-hearted or kind-hearted, maybe even generous-hearted. Went to a friend of ours we've known for nearly 60 years last year, and he was said numerous times that Alison was warm-hearted. She was an open-hearted lady as she served in the church there on the east of Birmingham. But negatively too, we use it, don't we? We talk about people being cold-hearted. I've always enjoyed football. I'm afraid I'm a Villa fan. Yes. Anybody else? No, one or two? But to play a football game, I think I was talking today, but I played it I was about 61 with our church. You didn't think I was 61, did you? But to play in a football game when it's half-hearted, you know, it doesn't really, you don't enjoy it. Half-hearted. And perhaps one of the most uncomfortable descriptions of anyone is that they are heartless. For us, the use of the word heart, it describes the center of our beings, the seat of our emotions. It's the place where the most important desires are birthed, developed, and they grow. That's why we don't say to our loved ones, you know, turn to your husband and wife, I love you with all my pancreas, or I love you with all my liver or my lungs. Of course not. We love you with the whole of my heart. And this is common in most languages. We've got friends from Ukraine and maybe Brazil are here in the congregation. I'm sure that probably in their language, it's probably a similar way that the heart is used as well. And so it's no surprise that when we turn to the Bible, that we find similar approaches to how they use the word heart. And again, as I've said, even though the Bible was written many, many years ago, 2,000-3,000 years ago, depending where you dip in, we also find the heart used in a similar way to describe people and their attributes. Paul, in his writings in the New Testament, he says to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 7, make room for us in your hearts. To the Philippian church, 1:7, he says, I have you in my heart. Again, Corinthians, we've opened wide our hearts to you. And Nehemiah, as they built, he says, the people worked with all their hearts. All those whose hearts were willing brought gifts when they were building the temple in 2 Chronicles. And of course, probably one of the most famous verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Great verse there in Proverbs 3. In the story of the anointing of young David in 1 Samuel 16, we find these words, and we're probably familiar. The Lord does not look on the things that a man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God, what does he look at? He looks at our hearts. He looks at our hearts. A reminder of how different, I guess, we can look at people in contrast to the way the Lord looks at people when we go through any given week. And the Lord Jesus also himself talked about the heart. Matthew 15, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. And what Jesus is saying is that from the center of man's being, from the heart, those evil actions are birthed and eventually are put into actions. Jackie and I were watching the news a few months ago now, and we kind of looked at each other in disbelief, and many other things have happened since where someone was stealing a car and the man whose car it was hanging on. But the man who was stealing just carried on and went over his legs. And we kind of said to each other, what was in that man's heart to do something like that? What was in the offender's heart? Of course, another famous verse from Jeremiah, he talks in there, the prophet, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The verse reminds us that the heart of the problem in our world today, whether it's Birmingham or whether it's any city, wherever it might be, the heart of the problem is the problem of man's heart and where our hearts are, where we place our affections. Our actions, our passions, they emanate from our hearts. What's your passion this morning? Well, of course, we're here at church. It's a big passion. Do you have hobbies? I don't know what it would be. I think as a kid, I can remember stamp collecting. In fact, someone asked me last week, I haven't pulled them out for decades. I've got a cupboard at work and they sit there. And I took my wonderful stamp collection to someone to value. And the man said, it's worth nothing. I'd use any stamps you haven't used before. And that was many, many years ago. But I had another passion when I was a kid. My father was a footballer. He played for local pubs. And I used to go and watch him as a young lad. Anybody guess what my passion was? Wasn't beer, but it was beer mats. Now, some of the young ones, they won't even know what that is, but and I can remember as a 10 or 11-year-old, you know, collecting these kind of things. This morning, it's going to be different, isn't it, for each person? I had a text at half seven or somebody this morning from somebody in Scotland sending me the sound of birds. Last year, I've got a video of 21 goldfinches feeding off our bird feeder. I do enjoy watching birds. I'm not a twitcher, but I do enjoy. For some, it's going to be music. For some, it's going to be gardening. It's going to be decorating. Decorating, anybody? No? Okay. Painting, stargazing, train spotting, arts and crafts, reading, sport, all kinds of passions or hobbies. And ultimately, the passions will come from what we allow to get into our hearts. The desires that we allow to be birthed and fed and developed in our hearts will ultimately, as I've said already, will shape our actions and then our lives. A couple of friends we know years ago, they made the decision not to have children because they wanted to spend their available money to travel the world. And that was their decision. I remember being moved by a book I read a couple of years ago. I recommend it. It's called Mountain Rain by J.O. Fraser. Anybody read that book? If you haven't, I recommend it. You can get it on Amazon. Early 20th century missionary, educated man, great musician. I think he was going into engineering, but he felt a call to go to China. And he worked in the southwest part of China. Nearly lost his life on a number of occasions. Used to walk miles and miles and miles to reach little villages. Nothing of the gospel was known in these areas. Today, there's 500,000 Lhasa people that meet across that land of China. And I was challenged by the fact that he could have gone one direction, but he dedicated himself to serving the Lord in that place. Jesus said this, didn't he? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's a great challenge, what we give most of our time to, our money, our energy, our enthusiasm. Where we place it is an indication of what really grabs our heart, that holds our heart. 168 hours in each week. And we could work out where our heart is by looking at what time we give to whatever it is. As our verse teaches us, the heart is truly, the phrase it uses, the wellspring of life. The wellspring of life gives us a picture of fresh water, that spring gushing out from its source and bringing life to all around it. So this morning, so far, I've reminded us that our actions and desires are birthed and grow within our hearts. And eventually what we allow to grow in our hearts will shape our actions and our life choices, because it is the wellspring of our lives. And so as we look at the verse, I only have one application, really. It's only the one verse I'm looking at this morning, but it's a great application. The verse is this: guard your heart. This week, as we go into the week and in the months and months ahead as we serve the Lord, guard your heart. Why? Because it is the wellspring of life. In our age of technology, with all the information that is poured into our lives from all sorts of areas, it's quite a challenge to guard our hearts. We are defined by the condition of our hearts, because our actions and activities will emanate from the heart. If our hearts are not protected and we allow unwholesome desires, attitudes to fill our hearts, then our actions will naturally be shaped by those desires and attitudes. It'll be because we've allowed our hearts to be filled with or affected by wrong, evil thoughts that we've allowed to grow in our lives. How did King David come to commit adultery with Bathsheba? Because when he saw her naked, should have turned away, he allows it to settle in his mind, and eventually when it goes from the mind to the heart, he was lost, and ultimately it shaped his actions. But our verse, may I suggest, is even stronger than what I've said so far. Solomon the preacher doesn't just say, guard your heart. What does he say in that verse? Above all else. That's quite a challenge. Above all else, guard your heart. Put it another way, I think he's saying to me, to us, there's nothing more important I tell you to do than to guard your heart. And The challenge comes as I draw to a close this morning. How do we guard our hearts? And I think David and Bathsheba is helpful. It reminds us that, to me, we have to set a watch of a guard over our senses, which act like gates, doors, and ultimately avenues to our hearts, our sight, our hearing, our touch, our taste, our smell. The things that we allow ourselves to watch and read and touch and to experience will determine ultimately what my heart is like, what your heart's like, and therefore actions will follow. And I like this phrase, we need to set up gatekeepers in our lives. I have an app on my notes and I've got gatekeepers. And in my quiet times or reading of the word, if I find a verse that I think is helpful, I just slot it into that gatekeeper folder as a verse that can help me. Because all of us will come under attack, be it spiritually or some other way in our lives. And it often begins with the battle of our minds, because our emotions are only reflectors of what we think. Our emotions are only reflectors of what we think. That's why Paul says these words, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble and pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. What are the areas of your life where you experience pressure or temptation or come under attack from the devil? It's going to be different from each of us this morning. Craving after possessions, wrong thoughts in our minds, lusting after someone, temptation to steal, to watch things that are not helpful, wrong language, hankering after power and perhaps position. Whatever it is for me and for you, let's set up gatekeepers in our lives. The psalmist says, doesn't he? He says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119 and verse 11. So memorizing verses and knowing verses will help protect us in our lives. What are some examples? I'll draw to close. Wrong thoughts? Well, whatsoever is pure, lovely, think on these things, Philippians and chapter 4. Hankering after possessions. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but lose his own soul, Mark 8. Wrong priorities in one's life, not putting the Lord first. Give careful thought to your ways, from Haggai chapter 1. Lust? Well, that great verse in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Being in the wrong place, we know we shouldn't be there. Elijah, what are you doing here? Wes, what are you doing here? Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So as we go into a new week, let's first of all consider, before God, what is our heart like? Is it open? Are we ready to receive God's word? Do we know him as a personal friend, as our Lord and Savior? Well, if not, then please speak to one of your leaders and Steve this morning. The most important thing we can do is to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. A little book at the back comes to mind. It's called The Night That Changed My Life. I became a Christian at 14. A little booklet at the back there. And I encourage you all to put your trust in the Lord. But if we're following the Lord, are we guarding our hearts? Let's ask this week, Lord, help me to guard my heart. Help me to make the right decisions. Let's all set up gatekeepers in our lives. Great verse. What is it? Above or else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. May God bless his word to us this week.